But we continue on this Pentecost day to explore and to look at some of the misperceptions that people have about the Christian church, some of the myths that they hold about the Christian church. And sometimes those myths or misperceptions are based somewhat in experience and maybe a little bit of truth in them, and that we as the Christian church have brought some of these upon ourselves. And one of the ones that is a little bit irksome to me, but I understand where it comes from, is the phrase that I've heard on a number of occasions that somebody has said to me that they didn't want to be part of the church because the church is all legalistic. It's all about the do's and the don'ts. It's all about the rules and the regulations and mostly about the don'ts. And that there's a misperception out there that the church sits around and makes up rules because we're afraid somebody somewhere is having fun. But that's not who we are, is it? That's not the nature of the church. So let's take a look. Let's go back to the pages of the scriptures, and let's go back to the days of the early church. And we recognize there that that was a question, it was an issue that they were dealing with even way back then. And I'm only going to read just a few short verses from the third chapter of Galatians, but I would encourage you in this week ahead to read through the entire book of Galatians. It's not very long. It's a very short book in the Bible, because Galatians is all about this question of law versus freedom. And I think Paul does a wonderful job of helping us to understand where we ought to land. But let me just share with you this portion from the third chapter, the first 9 verses. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing? Well, then does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the Gentiles shall be blessed in you.' For this reason, those who are blessed with Abraham, who believed." May the Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. A number of years ago, I attended a seminar that was actually mandatory for all of us ministers in the presbytery that I once served. It was a day-long seminar on sexual harassment and sexual boundaries for ministers to learn, you know, what that all encompasses. And we sat there for 8 hours listening to the presenter giving all of these, you know, rationales and descriptions and explanations and so on. And it was not a fun day. It was a very long day. First of all, the speaker spoke in a monotone voice, so that didn't help any at all. But we got through it, and the fellow that I drove up with, he and I were riding back together again, and he turns to me on the way back, and he says, "Don't you think, Steve, it would have been a lot easier if they just told us what we could and couldn't do?" Well, there is something in human nature. There is something in our humanness that likes to have rules, likes to have things set out for us, that we like to know what the boundaries are. We like to know the rights from wrongs. We like to know what we're allowed to do and what we're prohibited from doing. We find a certain comfort in the law. There is something that is comforting for us in the law. I know I'm not any different than anybody else, and you know, my family will tell you that if I'm driving on the interstate and I haven't seen a speed limit sign for a while, I get nervous. I do. I get nervous. It's like, what if it changed back to 55 and I didn't notice and I'm still doing 70? You know, and I get all nervous until I see the next speed limit sign and go, okay, I'm good. You know, because there is something comforting, something that puts us at ease if we have that law and it's clearly delineated for us and it is set out there and we know what the parameters of that law are. And you know, maybe we don't always follow them precisely. I mean, if it says 70, I might go a little bit above that. I might hit 72 or 73, but I, you know, at least I know what the boundaries are, and I try and stay close to those parameters. And there is something in our human nature that likes to have those boundaries, likes to have those rules, likes to have things spelled out for us. We want to know when to cross the T's and when to dot the I's, and there is something that is comfortable for us in that. And it's always been that way because, I mean, you go back in the pages of Scripture and you read about, you know, now think about the Pharisees. Wonderful people. I know they kind of get a bad rap. They really shouldn't. They were wonderful people. They were the kind of people you'd love to have living next door to you because they were the ones who mowed their lawns regularly, made sure their house was painted every few years, and they kept their property up beautifully, and they would make wonderful neighbors to have around you. But they found such comfort in the law that they tried to make sure they had every contingency covered. And so they would take a simple rule, a simple law to keep the Sabbath holy. You know, it's one of the Ten Commandments, very straightforward, keep the Sabbath holy. It is a day that should be set aside for worship of God and praise of God and to rest and refresh ourselves. Simple law. But they would take that law and then they would carry it out to an nth degree. And they would raise every possible scenario and try and come up with an answer for that. For instance, if you were a Pharisee and you had an animal and that animal of yours fell into the well on your property on the Sabbath, could you rescue that animal? Would that be working on the Sabbath? Nobody's going to hazard a guess for me. Okay. The answer, wait, what? Did I hear a guess? Yes? Yes. Okay, I got a few yeses. The answer is yes and no. They made it so complicated that if you had an animal and it fell into the well, if the animal's nose was above water, the animal had to wait until Sabbath was over to be rescued. If the animal's nose was below water, you were allowed to rescue it on the Sabbath. That's how fine-tuned they tried to make everything. They tried to make everything so that there was no issue, there was no gray areas. Everything they tried to make into a black and white issue. And see, that still carries on. There are those places and those churches that still like to have everything spelled out in black and white. When I was in the Wyalusing Church across the river in Tarrytown, there was a small Baptist church there. And the pastor of that church, and I wouldn't have known it, but he put it out in the newspaper. He put into the letter to the editor in the newspaper delineating the 32 things you had to do to be a Christian. And I read that and I thought it was just like the most horrible thing I'd ever read in my life because he delineated so many things and most of which excluded me from being a Christian. For instance, back in that day, I actually had the ability to grow hair and occasionally it did touch my collar and did go over my ears and that was precluded that in order to be a Christian, you had to have hair that did not touch your collar and did not touch your ears. I also have had a beard since that time, and if you had facial hair, you're excluded from being a Christian. You had to have clean shaven, and your sideburns could not touch the open in your ear there. That could not go below that opening in your ears. And if that wasn't bad enough, all the things for the women were even worse. In order to be a Christian in his church, the women could not leave their homes unless they wore a dress that touched the ground. It had to touch the ground. They could never get their hair cut. Their hair had to be untouched. Could not be cut. Could not be curled. Could not be do anything with it. They could not wear makeup or anything else like that. No adornment. No earrings. No jewelry other than a simple wedding band was the only jewelry they were allowed to wear. But this pastor had delineated everything within his church, and every member of that church was expected to follow every single one of those rules in order to be baptized and become a member of that congregation. And if you weren't baptized and a member of that congregation, you were not considered, in his thinking, to be a Christian. So we do have that tendency to try to delineate everything out and to make rules for every situation. And it was no different in the early church, because Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he's upset with them. Twice in this one short passage, he refers to them as foolish people because they have fallen back into that trap. They've fallen back into that trap of trying to make a rule for everything and fit every situation into the rule. And he says to them, who bewitched you? Who dazzled you? Who put a spell on you to make you think that how you live your life is going to earn God's love? He said, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel we preach. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ raised from the dead, that it is by believing in Jesus that our salvation comes to us. It's not by our actions, not by our deeds. He asked them the question, who of you thinks that you can earn God's love by living a perfect life? You've given up something good and generous for something that is a burden and will weigh you down and wear you out. The church, by its nature, by God's design, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the church is not a place of rules and regulations. It is not a place of perfect people living perfectly well. It is a place for real people to live real lives as forgiven people. People who know that we are loved by God, not because of anything we have done, not because we have followed all of the rules, not because we have crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, but because of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. A gift freely given. A love generously shared with us. That's what the church celebrates. It is not a hotel for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. We are imperfect people. We will remain imperfect people. But we live together as forgiven imperfect people. You know, I tried an analogy because, you know, the problem with a sermon like this is that sometimes you go out from a sermon like this and you start to think, well, by golly, I can do anything I want. If God's going to forgive me for everything I do, then I'm going to go out and have a good time and not worry about it. And that's not what Paul's talking about in Galatians. He's talking about us not being burdened by the law, but allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, to guide us in our decision-making, to help us to face each difficult question in our lives with the overarching question of how can I be sharing God's love in this situation? How can I make God's love visible through my decisions that I make? So I was trying to come up with an analogy. I tried it at 9 o'clock. They thought, maybe. So I'm going to try it with all of you too. See if you like this analogy or not. Because I'm trying to come up with a way to try and give us a visual picture of how this all works for us as Christians. Why we're not legalistic, but we're not, at the same time, we're not, you know, freewheeling on everything and doing anything and anything, everything that we want to. And so I came up with this analogy. If you go to any of our wonderful shopping centers we have around here, in most every single one of them, as you drive along in front of the buildings, every so many feet, there's a crosswalk and a stop sign. Is there not? Right? Virtually every one of the shopping plazas has those stop signs every so many feet. Now, if we are to live as legalistic people in our lives, then we are like those who go through those parking lots, come to complete stop at every one, and look both ways and proceed. But there are those who in their Christian lives want to go to the opposite extreme, that since we are forgiven people and we're not under the law anymore, we're going to drive through every stop sign no matter what. Full speed ahead, we got to get to the other end of the parking lot, we're going to get there. But I think that what the Apostle Paul is trying to help us to see is that there is this middle alternative, a middle way, that we drive up to the stop sign, we slow down, we're cautious, we make sure nobody's there, nobody's going to get hurt, and we drive on. We don't have to come to complete stop, but we're going to be being very careful. We're following the spirit of the law, maybe not the letter of the law. Does that help? Maybe not. I'm getting a lot of blank looks, so I'll keep trying to find a good analogy that will help you all to understand what it is that we're called to do as Christians. Not to be burdened by the law, but to allow the law to guide us in our lives, to give us a foundation, to give us some broad parameters, but that the law doesn't become for us something that burdens us or something that we use as a means of earning God's love. It is for us, as John Calvin would say, it is for us an avenue of living in thanksgiving, that out of our gratitude to God for the grace of His love toward us, we seek to please Him in all of our actions and in the way that we live our lives. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, a gift freely given, a gift given to us while we were yet sinners, a gift given to us not because of who we are, but oftentimes in spite of who we are. We thank You for that grace. Help us to live our lives in response to that grace, to not allow ourselves to become burdened down by the law, but to allow the law to be for us a tool to help us to see how we might live our lives in faithful service to you. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.